Hello, everyone. Welcome to or welcome back to the Perfectly Imperfect podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Minnie, and I'm here today with a very, very special guest. I'm so excited to have you on, Sophia. Thank you so much for being here. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm very excited to be here. This is my first podcast, so very exciting.
Oh my God, I'm honored that Perfectly Imperfect is your first.
Of course. I mean, I listen regularly anyways, so this is like fun. I'm like, ooh, behind the scenes.
Yeah, exactly. You're getting a little sneak peek to what it takes to, you know, get those podcasts out. Oh, well, thank you so much. And I guess a little context as well. Sophia and I are friends. We met through an event in New York City, and we've just been keeping in touch. So with all of my guests, I love to start with a quick little check-in moment, reflection moment called Rosebud Thorn. I cannot take credit for this. I used to do this actually with my sorority in college, but I just really enjoyed the practice of it to kind of get you thinking about something positive, something a little more challenging, and something you're looking forward to. So what would be your rosebud thorn right now?
I think, so my rose is probably that over the past week, I like kind of ran out of coffee, which sounds not great, but it gave me an excuse to go get coffee out, which is not the most fiscally responsible decision, but it made me really happy. That's so good. I've gotten coffee out a lot this week. It's been a big treat yourself week. So that's probably my rose. My bud, I have two buds. One, we're moving, and my partner and I are moving into a bigger place in like 3 weeks, which I'm really excited about. And then also I'm just getting really excited about spring. Like it's finally starting to kind of feel like spring, which is my favorite season. So I'm just like ready for that. And then I would say my thorn, it's probably just like I've been really evaluating my relationship with social media recently and like how it's making me feel and if it's something I want to like continue, and just trying to make like hard decisions there. So I'm sure we can talk more about that, but that's probably been my thorn.
No, I feel that navigating that relationship is never easy, for sure. Well, I would say my rose right now is similar to you with the springtime. It's finally sunny and clear skies today in New York, and so I spent the morning outside walking around. I picked up a matcha that I enjoy, so, you know, similar to you, just really romanticizing and taking note of the small things, even if it is just getting a coffee outside and going on a quick walk. I'm just trying to focus more on those little wins. So that was a rose today. But I have a fun dinner event this week, which is always nice to have something in the books the week ahead. I feel like I've kind of tended to not have as much plans recently. I think that's just natural ebb and flow of social events with the winter as well. So it's kind of nice to be getting back into having social events in the calendar and something to look forward to, get ready, get dressed up for. And my thorn, recently I've been just struggling a bit with my anxiety, like in the mornings and in the evenings more specifically. So I think just navigating that and trying to build a structure and put things in place to help myself. I still feel a little bit like I'm unclear of what exactly I need at times, and that can be kind of overwhelming. So just learning and having patience and grace with myself throughout that process, but understanding that like maybe I just need to help myself a little bit more than maybe I want to accept or that I want to acknowledge or something.
Yeah, I feel like evenings are always the worst generally. It's like the day ends and it's like, okay, time to go like into a black hole of your worst thoughts. I don't understand it, but like every day.
Yep, I know. And even in the last couple of weeks, it's been so much worse. Like honestly, I thought January was bad, but then like February, I feel like has been worse. And so I'm like, okay, I really need to address this. I can't just keep pushing this off and hoping it'll just go away on its own.
Yeah, I always hope it'll just go away.
I mean, the weather, I think, not to talk about the weather, I feel like that's so cliche, but the sun and just feeling, you know, feeling the sun on my face, like I was shocked how that helped so much today, even though it is pretty cold. It just does give me hope that the natural elements play a big part in your mental health as well.
It legitimately helps so much. I feel like a brand new person when the sun starts to come out, even like it's cold, but it's like not too cold. And I'm like, could open the window. Like, it's kind of nice out. Like, I feel just like a much better person when the weather's like this. So
Yeah, no, totally. So I too am excited for spring and summertime. Well, is there anything else you want to let us know, let the listeners know about yourself before we jump into some of my questions that I have for you?
Yeah, so I live in Jersey City with my partner Jacob, and we have two cats and a dog, Pippa, Olive, and Lily, and they are my whole world. So we have a very nice little family here. I'm a big crafty girl. That's kind of like my main personality trait at the moment, is I just love to craft. I'm mostly doing crochet at the moment, but because I've been spending less time on social media, I've kind of been picking up like other hobbies, and it's been really fun. So when I move, I'm really excited to get into sewing because I'll like actually have space to sew. And I want to get into baking and all of that too. So I just really like making things. That's like one of my favorite things to do. And then I guess the only other thing is just like I studied psychology at Trinity College Dublin in Ireland, and I feel like that's essential to my story because the education piece really is the backbone of a lot of what I do, at least on social media. So yeah, I studied psychology and I did my thesis on implicit racism, specifically exposure to Black individuals affecting white individuals' levels of implicit racism. So it's something I'm really passionate about, and it's something I find really, really interesting that I still keep up with to this day. So,
Really
yeah.
cool. I love that. I didn't know that about. I know we've had conversations about your university time as well. I didn't realize that. That's a really fascinating topic. I'd love to
Yeah,
hear
it
more.
was really cool.
Yeah. But within our conversations, we've also connected and sort of bonded, I feel like, over like mutual struggles with our mental health. And you've been, like myself, very open about it on social media. So if you could share a little bit about your journey with anxiety and mental health, whatever you feel comfortable sharing.
Yeah, I mean, so my primary diagnosis is OCD. I was diagnosed formally with OCD when I was 12, but it was my pediatrician when I was like three was like, something's not particularly right there. And OCD manifests in a lot of different forms, and I'm not going to go into all of it because it's just like so varied and so individual for each person. But I will say, I've started in the past like really 6 months just kind of accepting that it comes in waves. The hardest part is because I've had OCD my entire life, it's so hard to tell what's like a normal thought and what's a not normal thought and what's a normal behavior and not a normal behavior. And that's something I've really been kind of thinking about recently. So OCD is my primary diagnosis. I've been given, I think like most people are given multiple different comorbid diagnoses, and it's kind of all over the place, and people disagree. And I've gotten to the point where I was so hyper focused on what do I have, what disorder do I have, like the label, and it just stressed me out so much because it was like constantly changing and everything. And recently, I've really been focusing on like, okay, what are the symptoms? And trying to remove myself from that label. Even with OCD, like I know I have OCD, but I've been trying to focus on like, okay, how does it manifest in my everyday life and what can I do to fix it? Generally trying to think of it less as a mental illness and more as just like something that's kind of happening, detaching myself from it, I guess, if that makes sense. One thing I've always struggled with is I've always assumed because I have mental illness, I am a mentally ill person. And I'm trying to separate and be like, no, like, I am a person with mental illness and I can live a normal life. I always assumed I couldn't live a normal life. Like, that just wasn't in the cards for me. And so, really recently, I've been working on like, no, I can live a perfectly normal life. I can function just as well as everyone else. There's nothing wrong. It's just I have to adapt my strategies a bit. So I would say like the first bit of my mental health journey is very much just coming to terms with like, how do I function? You know, what's different than other people? Recently, I feel like I've kind of crossed a little boundary of just like, okay, now I'm focusing on how do I function like a normal person? Well, normals, you know, but function like a not mentally ill person, I guess.
Or just in a way that like you feel balanced and at a sustainable state, sort of.
Yeah, I think I just, for a very long time, I used mental illness as an excuse for a lot of things. Like, oh, I'm never going to be able, I'm not going to socialize because I have social anxiety. It's just not like possible for me. Or I want to exercise consistently, but like, I can't do that because I have ADHD and my discipline is just all over the place. And it's kind of just being like, no, like, just because you have mental illness, you are still very capable of doing all of these things. It might be a little bit harder, but you're still very capable of doing this. And really focusing on labeling myself as not broken in any way, and just focusing on like being a whole person that struggles with things and finding ways to work around them.
Right. I literally got the chills you saying that. Like, you said it so beautifully, because I think that's something that a lot of people may be diagnosed or undiagnosed, if they're struggling with quote unquote normal things that maybe quote unquote shouldn't be hard to do, they feel so limited and box themselves in. And, you know, I'm speaking from the I perspective as well, just knowing that if something's hard for me that isn't for the person next to me, I then maybe allocate like shame or something's wrong with me, and I kind of box myself in somewhere separate from the other person or from other quote unquote normal people. But I love that you said like you can do everything and anything that anyone else can do. It's just learning the adaptations that maybe you need, the accommodations that maybe you need, and just, you know, eliminating the shame around all of that, I think, is so, so key, and isn't really something that's taught. Like, you know, people give you the diagnosis, maybe they give you medication, but they never talk to you about how to feel about yourself now that you know these things about yourself. Or even if you don't know these things about yourself, there's no tools to really help you understand and navigate the shame that may come along with that. Have you ever felt like your body is trying to tell you something, but you just can't figure out what? Maybe your energy crashes out of nowhere, your mood is all over the place, or no matter how well you take care of yourself, you just still feel off. I know I've been there. And for the longest time, I thought it was just stress or bad sleep, but what I've learned after being on my own hormone balancing journey this past year is that a lot of these symptoms are often tied to our hormones. This is where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz designed to help you uncover the root cause of your symptoms. After taking the quiz, you get a personalized recommendation to help get your body back in balance. When I took the quiz, one of the recommendations I got was to start taking Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is an herbal formula supplement that fine-tunes the hormonal system and is used by women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. Using only science-backed ingredients, they offer a range of products designed to help you feel like yourself again. Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your hormonal issues. For a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code PIPOD at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code PIPOD, PIPOD, for 15% off today. I know this isn't like a planned question for you, but how have you helped to like reframe maybe any shame or kind of self-image around navigating your mental health, like going from the place, like you said, you felt more boxed in, you felt confined by the label of the disorder, to now just focusing on the symptoms and sort of letting the rigid labels go?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a few things. The biggest thing is self-compassion and really just working on internal monologue, because my internal monologue for a very long time was very much like, you are broken, this is not going to work for you, don't even try. And it was just, you know, boxing myself in. And it's been, I mean, a lot of therapy, but also just really listening to a lot of people's experience. Like, I know self-improvement podcasts can be kind of a double-edged sword, but hearing other people be like, yeah, I got through this, like hearing those similar experiences, it took a while for it to sink in for me. It was really repetition of like, okay, I've heard it enough times, maybe this can be true for me. And it really, it's that self-compassion element, but it's also just like gentle questioning, I guess, of like, it was very hard for me to believe, oh, you're not broken. I know all these other people are saying you're not broken, but like, for me, it's hard to believe that. Right. And I think it was just posing the small question of like, what if? Like, what if you're not broken? What if you can live a normal life? And just like slowly exploring that. And that's through therapy, but it's also through even just small actions throughout the day. I know people say like you build trust in yourself through doing things and keeping promises to yourself, and I always used to hate hearing that, but it is unfortunately true. So setting the bar really low has helped for me. So instead of being like, I'm going to exercise 6 times a week for 45 minutes each time, just being like, one day a week. One day a week, 20 minutes. That's all you need to do.
Because
And
then
then,
you can do that
yeah.
and that'll help build the trust.
And I feel like also focusing more on the present rather than the future has helped me. I used to set these big, like, oh, you know, this is my best self in the future. This is what I'm working towards. But I feel like when I started to think like that is when I start to think, oh, but I'm mentally ill and that's not possible for me. Whereas if I focus on, okay, this is how I'll feel my best today, or this is how I'll feel my best tomorrow, it feels more manageable and those thoughts don't tend to come up as much. And then the more you prove that to yourself, the more that it becomes easier to see the long-term picture as well, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah, totally makes sense. And I think just taking it step by step in that way and having the patience with yourself to just one, lower the bar, look smaller scale is not easy to do. And it's not something that's like necessarily preached. Like society praises people who can look big picture, they can plan ahead and they, do all these huge, big things. But, sometimes in order to get to those bigger goals, looking smaller scale and zooming way into just day to day. I don't know. That's also been helping me a lot, just trying to zoom in and slow down and set the expectations a bit lower. It's hard to do and kind of feels unnatural at times, but I agree with you. I think that's something really, really key for anyone struggling with their mental health, with their self-image, with their self-worth, on all those. The smaller scale things are going to build up the self-worth, maybe at a different pace than someone else, maybe in a different way, or it might look different than what you imagined, but it's just maintaining your own journey and knowing that you need to do that for yourself and, disregard however anyone else around you is navigating that self-worth and self-trust.
Yeah. And I mean, really, the key, I think, is just speaking kindly to yourself. It's building trust within yourself, but it's really, I would tell myself all the time, like, you're broken. Like, you're broken. Like, on repeat. And it's like, that's not helping anyone. What's that doing? And it's kind of just telling yourself, like, gently, just being like, maybe you're not. And then exploring that a little further and being like, actually, look at all the good things that you've done, or look at all the good qualities that you have. And just, it's a very slow process and it takes time, but you will build it up over time and you'll start feeling better about yourself and you'll start feeling less broken. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's such an important message for myself and, so many others. Thank you. And so moving on to another question I had, kind of more touching on social media, because you, like myself, have shared your journey on social media through TikTok and Instagram and navigated like the vulnerability that comes with that, but also kind of the plus sides of building community. So how has that journey been for you, and like what initially prompted you to share your journey and your mental health journey?
Yeah, so I started social media, specifically TikTok, like everyone else in COVID. I was in a really, probably the lowest point I've ever been. And it was like just a struggle to literally just do the basic things, get out of bed, all of that. And so I started taking these little videos just throughout the day of like, oh, this is pretty, or like, this makes me happy, and just kind of piecing them all together. There was never any intention of doing anything with it. It was just kind of like a reminder that like life is kind of beautiful and good and all of that. And then, you know, people started resonating with it. And I started sharing some like tips that I have just from my personal experience, but also from my education. And people started really liking those. And I kind of started to lean more into that side. But it's difficult when you're basing what you want to share on personal experience, because I am someone who's naturally very open and I want to help people, but there's also the reality of there are some mean people in the world. And also, like, for me, the biggest thing is it's okay to keep some things private. That's been a hard pill for me to swallow because I am naturally a person who will just tell you my whole life story, and like, I don't have any qualms about that. But trying to balance, okay, this is the correct amount of vulnerability to share so that it'll help people, but while I'm still comfortable. And I feel like there's a pressure in that I notice the content that does better is the content where I'm more vulnerable. And so that makes me want to do that, but it pushes past a boundary at some point. I would also say mental health and social media are very, it's an interesting coexistence. And what I've found recently is I've been wanting to take more time off of social media because I found it really, like, night and day helps my mental health. Like, it's a huge difference. I hate that it's a huge difference, but it's a huge difference. But then it comes with the, side of, okay, if I take time off of social media, I'm abandoning this community I built and I'm not helping people. The two issues I think are balancing how much you want to share, but also how much you're willing to give to help others and not feeling guilty about taking a step back, I think is a really hard thing for me. I don't know about for you.
Yeah, no, I definitely resonate with a lot of what you just said. Like, being so transparent, I kind of had one of those anxious mornings and just told myself, okay, no Instagram today. Because I knew that even just opening the app, seeing one story, one video, one picture, I was going to compare, and it was not going to be a helpful thing for me. But instantly with that decision came the guilt of, oh, here's another day you're not posting, here's another day you're not showing up, you're letting go of this community you built, all the similar things you just said. So I agree with you. I think there are so many wonderful things, and the community aspect, the feeling less alone aspect of social media is so wonderful and is something that, the generation before us just never really had. But it comes with its cons, and the comparison, and the pressure to push past your own boundaries, which wouldn't necessarily be there without social media. So I agree with you, and I think ultimately social media should be an addition to our life, and it should be something that brings kind of an overflow of creativity, of inspiration, of community, because we already have an established level of that in our real in human life. So I agree with you. I think taking the time off and honoring those boundaries is so, so key, even if that means maybe our presence on social media looks different than it did a few years ago. And I feel like I'm honestly having a lot of conversations with you and other creators too, that it has grown and changed so much over the last few years that I think it's natural that people are starting to want to peel back and lessen, because it was this big thing, big push, especially in quarantine when everyone was home and we couldn't do anything except scroll. I mean, we could, but a lot of people kind of built the habit of scrolling at that time of this world. And now, a few years out, we're all like, well, actually, I don't feel any better. So let's reel back and come back into the present life and find joy and beauty in the real life things rather than, what technology and social media can give us. So I
Yeah,
feel that.
I feel like we all adapted to finding our community and our joy and everything on the inside world because we couldn't do much with the outside world. And we trained ourselves to view it all that way. And then now that we're back into a more normal kind of, environment, we still have that training. So it's still like, oh, but we have this online community. So like this is my community, and it's just kind of reminding yourself that like life is not supposed to be lived on your phone, which I really hate when people say, because it is part of our lives at this point, and there's so much good that comes with social media. And I do think it can be really, it's been really helpful for me just seeing other people like post, share their stories. That's always really helpful. But yeah, I think we've reached a point where we're all kind of like, okay, we've spent so much time online, we've forgotten what the real world is like.
Which is
And
so
so
sad.
I've noticed a shift. Yeah, no, I've noticed the shift of people being like, I literally just want to do anything to get around real people and off my phone.
And like you said, social media can be a wonderful tool for that, but I think the key there is that it's a tool, not like a crutch that you need to lean on to in order to live your life, in order to socialize, in order to build community. It should be a tool to kind of help amplify that. And actually, one of my past guests on this podcast, she told me that social media should come from an overflow. Like, your cup is so full already of life, of friends, of community in your real life, that social media is then an overflow of that. And so it really put it into perspective that I think sometimes, and maybe you can relate to this, like, if we're trying to pull from an already maybe half empty cup of ourselves, and we're struggling or we're lacking some sort of inspiration and community and creativity in our real lives, and then we're out here trying to pull something out of us to then post on social media to help others, we're totally disregarding our own needs at that time. So I've really been trying to think about that and just make sure that anytime I do go to post, I do go to share, I've already taken care of myself first. And I think that is just honestly the only way, like, social media can really be sustainable and something that works for you long term.
I really like that, because I do feel like naturally, at least for me, I do tend to go on social media when I'm not feeling my best, because it's like, I don't feel like doing anything else. I don't want to leave the house. I'm just going to scroll on my phone. And you do get that little, you know, dopamine hit from, oh, I'm helping someone else. So, you know, at least that's, I'm doing something. Social media can be really good and really fun, but you need to come from a place of, I'm already having a good day. I'm already feeling good within myself, and I want to help other people based on that energy. I really like that.
Yeah, it's definitely helped me a lot. And so I guess taking a little turn of conversation more to our real in-person life and in-person jobs and day-to-day life. I know, I feel like we could talk about social media forever, but
yeah.
if you guys listening want more on that, we can have Sophia back for part two. So social media and mental health, how to navigate it. But yeah, moving on to my next question. We both work 9-to-5 jobs full-time, fully from home, fully remote. And so I'm kind of asking this for myself, but also anyone else maybe listening who has a full-time job at home. How do you kind of navigate building daily structure, daily routine, and finding balance with that for yourself?
Yeah, I mean, this is something that's been a journey, because I love structure. I function really well with structure. And when I was in college, in school, etc., like, I was super woman functioning, because that structure was imposed on me. And I assumed that it would just continue like that, mm-hmm. because I was like, oh, that's just how I am. No, when you have to put the structure on yourself, it's a very different experience. So I've definitely struggled with just implementing a structure that works for me. And I think part of what I struggle with too is going back to social media, see all these people with their perfect routines on social media. Mm-hmm. And I try to just take their, you know, routine just off the shelf and implement it into my life. And then that doesn't work.
Right.
So I think what works for me is, it really is taking a step back from social media, and listening to yourself and experimenting a lot. Like, I have found I'm not a person who likes a super extensive morning routine. I find it works best for me if I get enough sleep, and then I wake up, maybe do a journaling session, maybe do one thing, and then get straight into work. I've tried, you know, the elaborate morning routine, all of that. And it's just listening to yourself and being like, am I actually enjoying this? Is the big question. I always have the question of, yeah, like, am I actually enjoying this?
Mm-hmm.
Because I find with structure, I thrive on structure, but I can also get sucked into it. And mm-hmm. that I'm just doing the things to do the things.
Right.
And I'm not getting anything out of it. So I think a big part of finding structure for me is just really, like, focusing on what I enjoy. I think part of it too is finding balance and structure. This goes back to the discipline point. Like, I used to be very disciplined. I am not disciplined now. And I think a big thing I've been thinking about is just, like, how to balance, you know, I always hear do it for your future self, do it for your future mm-hmm. self. But then it doesn't feel good for my current self. So balancing those two when I'm thinking of routines. And kind of where I've landed is do it for your future self while honoring and respecting your current self. So for me, that will look like I do set aside time in the morning before work. It doesn't have to be a lot of time, but I have to have some time before work. I try to stay off my phone while I'm working. Not very successful, but I do find immersing myself into my work really makes the day go by quicker, makes my work better, makes me feel better, all of it. And then I try to implement a like hard stop time at the end of the day because I work in a job where you can very easily work all night and everyone else is probably working all night. But setting the boundary with myself of being like, okay, like it's 6 p.m., like we're done. And then planning things to do in the evening, even if that's not a social activity, because I did have a phase where I was really leaning into the social activity and then I burnt myself out. So even just like, at 6 p.m., I'm scheduling it in that I'm going to crochet for an hour. Like, have something to look forward to and to-do list. To-do lists really work for me. I personally don't like time blocking my day. I know that's always the recommendation is always like, 7 to 8, I do this, 8 to 9, I do this. What happens when I try to do that is I miss the mark by like 1 minute and then I stress out and I'm like, I'm all off schedule and then I just give up.
Yeah, I'm
So
laughing because
what's
that's literally me.
it's literally it's so hard. So what I found really helps is just making like a list of, okay, here's everything I want to do, labeling it like, okay, these are the things I actually have to do. These are the things I kind of want to do. And these are the things that it would be nice to do them, but like, I'm not going to stress if I don't get to them. So like have to do, want to do extras. I notice a difference in my productivity and my general mood on days where I do that versus days where I do not do that. Because if I don't implement that structure myself, it's not going to be a good day.
Those are really helpful tips. I'm honestly taking notes mentally as well. And I think I've found as well the prioritization to be the most challenging, but when you find a system that works, it just kind of does wonders. And someone actually showed me the there's like a 4-square chart, and you have like important and urgent on like a scale. So there's something that's important and urgent, but then there's something that's urgent but not important, and then there's things that are important but not urgent, and there's things that are just blatantly not urgent and not important, so you don't really have to worry about those things. And I think similar to your have to do, want to do extras, that sort of structure has really been helping me. So I just have categories, and when I think of something I need to do, whether it's for work, I tend to do that better in work, and I'm working on building that same prioritization list for like my personal projects outside of work. So that's the second step. But at least for work, like it's working for me. When I have a task that I need to do, I kind of just automatically put it in the box that it belongs in. If it's something that is kind of an ongoing project with no deadline, it's, important but not urgent. If it's something that they need tomorrow in 2 days, it's urgent and important. So I put that at the top in that box. So I agree with you. I think categorizing your tasks and the time blocking thing is also so real. Like I've tried putting in like scheduling my calendar. Like if you look at my calendar on the days I've like tried to time block, it looks like I would get everything done and it would be perfect and I wouldn't be procrastinating and it would be great, but it's just like the day doesn't actually look like that, and I end up, shifting around the time blocks, and if I get to a time block and I realize, oh, I have more energy for something else, and then I switch it up, and then I'm like, oh, well, now I didn't get that thing done. So, yeah, that all or nothing mindset really quickly breaks down the time blocks.
It really does. And I think one thing on structure outside of work as well, and this I think of more, I don't know if this is the direction you wanted to take this question, but I was thinking in terms of like doing the things you know you need to do to feel good. My issue is I normally don't want to do them. I know they'll make me feel good. I don't want to do them. And it's important to me to build a structure that includes those things because I can notice the difference. But again, don't want to do them. Hard to motivate myself to do them. One thing that's really helped me is the concept of like reluctant wellness, which I heard it on another podcast actually. Her name's Emma Louise, and her whole thing is like, okay, literally You don't have to want to do it. Like, force yourself to do it. You can be mad about it. You can like not be happy, but you're gonna do it because you know it's what's best for you. And also non-aesthetic wellness has been really important. I used to be like, oh, I'm gonna exercise after work. But then I'm like, okay, I have to get an acute workout set and I have to have like a cute layout and like everything needs to look correct in order for me to do it. And then that would seem like too much effort and I wouldn't do it. So like recently what I've been doing is, okay, I want to exercise in the mornings. Okay, I don't feel like changing. Great, you're gonna exercise in your pajamas.
Right.
And like minimizing the barriers to entry as much as physically possible has really helped me stick to a structure. So it's a mix of bringing down the amount of stuff you have to do in the day, or determining what you really have to do in the day, I guess, and also determining the easiest way to do it. Not making life harder than it needs to be, basically.
Yeah, I definitely resonate with that, and I think that's such an important message as well, like for anyone struggling with motivation and sticking with consistent things, is that barrier to entry is so real. And it feels like even with social media, sometimes it feels like there's only one way to do certain things, and if you don't do it that way, it's not right, or it's, you know, it doesn't it won't get the same like results, quote unquote, or whatever. So I definitely resonate with that a lot, and I think just minimizing the obstacles and the things you have to do in order to just do the thing that you know will make you feel better, it's just going to make the whole experience better as well, because then there's less things that you have to kind of mentally jump over in order to do the real thing. So yeah, I think that's really, really helpful. And so I guess moving on from that, as we talked about like doing things outside of work, we've both talked about, you know, and you've shared on the podcast today too, that you're very crafty and creative and kind of always have certain projects and things that you're working on outside of work. And so, how do you help yourself in those moments of maybe if you feel overwhelmed at times of wanting to do too many things at once? I'm speaking from the I perspective as well, because my brain definitely works like this. And you know, you have your structured 9 to 5, but how do you then fill up the time outside? And maybe there are so many hours in a day. How do we kind of prioritize and navigate that personal time, and build that same structure? So, what have you found that kind of helps you feel successful and fulfilled within yourself, but not kind of overwhelm yourself and keep adding more things to do?
Yeah, this is something I've definitely been struggling with a lot lately because my brain moves very fast and I have a million things I want to do at any given time. And I'm not good at being like, oh, well, this is the most important thing, or this is, you know, I'm not good at prioritizing. But what I have found is I've been focusing a lot. Well, two things. What's helped has been number one, breathing. Like, literally, I find it so hard to stop and take a deep breath. So when I'm really overwhelmed, when I'm like, oh, I want to crochet, but I also want to draw, but I also want to sew, but like all of these things, I take a deep breath and I'm like, okay, even a meditation sometimes, just physically slowing myself down. And then the second part of that is thinking, what will make me happy right now? I tend to get caught up in what I should be doing or what everyone else is doing. A good example of this is like even social media, it's, you know, I enjoy it, but I also feel like I should be doing it. Or it's just filling my time. It makes me feel good about myself, but it doesn't necessarily make me be all the time. So trying to just take a step back, slow down, and be like, okay, in this moment, with my energy levels right now, with my mood, with everything, what do I want to do? The big thing for me is I will get decision paralysis and I won't choose anything and then I'll end up scrolling my phone. So telling myself, breathe, choose something, just one thing. And then, you know, you can always switch later, but choose something and then just like do it for like 20 minutes. And it's just setting the time constraints too really helps.
So it's not like
Really,
committing like a whole 2 hours to something.
no.
Yeah.
You don't have to be like, okay, like this is crochet night. I'm gonna crochet all night. I'm not gonna do anything else. Like, you're allowed to do other things. But also, when it comes to overwhelm, I think the biggest thing that's helped me is just reminding myself that I don't have to do anything to be successful and to feel fulfilled, because I am someone who focused a lot on academic validation. And I still try to find that validation in other places. And I think one of the ways I do that is by trying to start projects that make me feel validated.
Right.
Just kind of reminding myself that, like, I'm good enough as I am. I don't have to prove anything. I don't have to earn anything. Like, I can live a happy, successful, fulfilled life if I'm literally just doing my little crafts every night. Like, that's still a good life. I feel like I listen to a lot of, like, hustle culture podcasts and everything. And just being like, yeah, like, if that makes you happy, great. Like, go for it. I don't think I'm the person that needs 3 million projects at a given time to feel happy. Mm-hmm. And I actually think that actively makes me less happy.
Right.
So listening to yourself, compassion, trying to figure out what works for you, not what works for other people, ignoring the shoulds, all of that.
Yeah. All those things are so important. Again, I feel like these are such all helpful reminders for myself as well. And just that the shoulding of yourself is so easily done. And I feel like for me as well, I often don't catch it. But then when I do, it's like, oh, wow. Like, I really am kind of, you know, I've been diving into this project or doing this thing or helping another person. And I haven't even listened to what I want or what if this actually feels good to me. And I think your point about finding what your own success looks like is really important as well. And like you said, so many people find success and find self-validation in different ways. And I think that's part of the beautiful uniqueness of human beings, is that we're not all cookie cutter like copies of each other. And so one way that you feel validated and feel success is not going to be the same way as someone else. And I think the trap that so many of us fall into is looking to others to find how to feel validated and how to find success, because we maybe follow someone else or we see someone else in a position that we want to be in. And so we kind of blindly follow their journey that they took, but that is just totally disregarding the most important part of your life, which is you. And, you know, so everything you do has to be okay with you, even if it is diverting from the path that someone else took to get to where you want to be. You can still get to where you want to be and just acknowledge that it may look different. Your path may look different. It may take longer. It may take shorter. It may take you down different curves and different pathways that you weren't expecting and that the other person didn't experience, but it's your journey. And that's, you know, how beautiful and unique humans are. And so this is something I'm actively working on as well. It's just validating myself for just existing, and I don't need to produce anything. I don't need to create anything. I don't need other people to enjoy my work, my project, my what I share, my creativity. Like, sure, that's a plus, but that isn't the core to our own validation. And school and university and just Western hustle culture does not accommodate for grace and compassion with that. It's very, you know, I don't know. I feel like it's very much like you get straight A's, you go to good school, and that's how you feel good about yourself. And so many people then, you know, that's why our 20s are so rough, because I feel like the kind of given structure of how to feel good about yourself is stripped away from us. And so now we're left to figure out what does self-validation look like to us, and how do we define our own success? So yeah, that kind of leads into my last question as well, which is, what does defining your own success mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, success has been an evolving concept for me, because like I said, in college, super academically focused, all my validation came from academics. I would regularly have breakdowns if I didn't get, like, you know, a super high grade. What kind of changed my mind was I graduated, and I graduated first in my course, and I still didn't feel like that's the highest validation I could get. And it was still, like, not enough. It was just like, okay, not anything special. And that's when I was like, okay, I really can't put success entirely in external sources, I guess.
Right.
So, but it took a while to find that, because, you know, I graduated college and then I went straight into work, and then I was putting all my validation, my success into work. And then it became social media, and then it became, like, entrepreneurship, and it's evolved so many times. I feel like I finally have gotten to a point where success to me is happiness and joy in the present moment. Truly, the only thing I'm focusing on right now is being happy. Like, I do not need to accomplish great things. I will be successful if I am satisfied with my life.
Yeah, I love that. And I 100% agree with you. And I think there's also nothing wrong with wanting to pursue the projects and the
Of
different
course not.
yeah, and if you want to pursue social media, but the key is just to not weigh all your own self-worth and how you feel about yourself on those things. Yeah, I
I think,
definitely.
yeah.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
Sorry.
No, go ahead, go
I was
ahead.
just going to say, I think the key is to pursue those things because you genuinely enjoy them and not to pursue them because you're seeking that validation that you're missing from school or
Yeah.
work or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. And I think for me as well, to add on to the success and what it means to me, I think it's also just feeling proud of myself at whatever point I'm at in life, and not only feeling proud if I reached a certain level, or if I don't know, the competitive side of me is like, if I'm reaching somewhere quicker than maybe I thought I would, or more than someone else, and I hate to kind of admit that, but that's been something that I've placed a lot of my value on, is just like how much I can do and how quickly I can achieve things. And so I think just breaking that down and just being proud of yourself at whatever point you're at is a huge part of success for me as well, and something I'm working on.
Yeah. And I think I'm proud of myself if I'm happy.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like going back to mental illness, like, I feel like for me, it is an achievement if I'm just happy, satisfied with my life. Maybe I'm putting the bar too low, but that's truly my all that makes me feel successful at the moment.
Right. Yeah. No, I think that's something that's not said enough. Like, just waking up, experiencing a new day, feeling good about the day. Like, that's an achievement in itself. And,
Yeah.
I feel like the world around us doesn't ever think that that's enough. You need to be striving for more and doing more. But truly, especially as people who do struggle with mental illness, and even if you don't, just waking up and experiencing a new day and doing something for yourself, whether it's leaving the house, not leaving the house, talking to someone, spending the day alone, like that's an achievement, and that can be your definition of success. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for this conversation. I definitely feel so energized and uplifted after this. Thank you.
Good. Well, thank you for having me on. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, good. Well, thank you again, Sophia. And if you want to share your socials or anything where people can find you.
I mean, I'm don't have the apps right now, but knowing me, I'll have
Yeah.
the apps tomorrow. So, my Instagram is just sophia.povedano. The last name is Povedano. And then my TikTok is Sophia Povedano with no dot. And that's really the only two platforms I have.
Well, thank you again so much for coming on, and enjoy the rest of your day. See you guys in the next episode.